From the Church of the Nazarene and Mesoamerica Genesis, you're listening to the Worthless Servants Podcast.
Hello, and welcome back to the Worthless Servants Podcast. It is great to be back with you, and we are all here together. This is Scott Armstrong talking with you, but to my left, I have AJ Fry.
Hey, guys.
And to his left, it's kind of in a circle here today, Emily Armstrong.
Hey, everyone.
To her left, oh man, I mean, they're confusing people or truly helping them to visualize this. Freya Galindo.
Hi there.
And last but never least, Chelsea Fry.
By jingo, we're glad you're here today.
That's excellent. I have no clue what that means, but
I don't either.
But
by jingo.
That sounds good.
By jingo, we'll figure it out. Yes.
Please let us know on Facebook how you have incorporated by jingo in your everyday language.
Yes,
oh, excellent challenge.
Yes, come up with a hashtag. Like
hashtag by jingo.
By jingo challenge. It's the new Christmas wave. New Year's wave 2019.
Wow, interesting. Well, we want to get into the topic at hand, and this is actually a fun one, I feel like. This is 10 misperceptions or common misperceptions about missionaries. Here we are, we're all missionaries. And so I think as we read this article, author Chuck Lawless. I always want to say Lawson, but he is Lawless. I feel like he's a bandit,
wow,
you know?
Lawless.
Exactly. But Chuck Lawless, and we'll get you the article link in the show notes. But he has actually talked about and written about, after talking to his missionary friends, he's written about 20 misperceptions. Now, we're only going to touch on 10 in this episode, and
yeah,
then 10 in another.
Yeah, because the minute you said even 20 or 10, yeah, people all of a sudden were like, the pastor that's like, I have 10 yeah points for this, but like, tune out right
there
away.
We go.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't go anywhere, please.
That's right.
Well, I'll pull another pastor, a common pastor error, which is, in conclusion then, guys.
the next
conclusion.
30 minutes.
And we still have the whole podcast to go. The way he put it was, on behalf of my missionary brothers and sisters, I plead with you to read today's and tomorrow's posts. And so I did. And I mean,
such a role
follower. The man pled with me, you know.
Pled? Is that the best?
Pleaded?
Pleaded.
See, I'm telling you, it's pled.
It's like one of those drunk.
Yeah.
It doesn't ever sound right.
Pleaded is what happens to pants.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. AJ's mind was just blown.
Oh,
so we're not going to go through all 10, all you folks that are thinking we're going through 10 points or 20 key points or something. But let's just kind of throw some out. Who would like to start us? What was one misperception that kind of grabbed you and said, oh, that is such a misperception. I sense that from other people about us or about me.
So I have a story about, there's one that says, a misconception is, we all live in a hut in Africa.
I love that one.
I'm going to add a little caveat on this. All missionaries live in a third world country.
Mm.
We were on home assignment and got countless comments. So how is your situation? Do you like have electricity? Do you like live
Which
in
the
a
irony
hut?
Is our electricity is kind of
I know, but I didn't
to
explain
us
that to them. Now we have 24-hour electricity. This is exciting.
You guys do, but we don't.
Yeah.
We're jealous.
But I had to explain to them, no, we live in a city of 4 million people and we have an IKEA. And they're like, keep talking. And then all of a sudden it dawns on them. Wait, you have IKEA? We don't even have IKEA. I know, because you live in a third world country.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll bet your electricity is really interesting.
No, it's just funny because it's this misconception and you can see like the clarity dawn on people's faces when you explain to them. Well, no, not the case.
One time I was video conferencing with somebody and their internet, they were in the United States, and their internet failed. And after we got back on, I was like, oh, no, I totally understand. I mean, you know, you're in a remote village in the middle of nowhere. I got it.
Instead of being like, gotcha, your turn.
Exactly. Has anyone else felt that? Like, do you see that perception of, oh man, you guys are living in this most rural of places in the middle of nowhere?
Is that a conception in Mexico for you?
Yeah.
Do people think missionaries serve just rural areas?
Usually you think, if you think in a missionary, you think they live like in the jungle or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Tiger. I have a pet tiger.
You have a treehouse.
Treehouse, that'd be cool.
And with a monkey or something.
So has it been hard? Like, obviously, a big part of our ministry is urban. Mm-hmm. Has it been difficult for you to share with people, hey, I'm in the big city and this truly is mission?
That's like when I share my prayer requests, and I'm always asking for them to pray for my safety because I'm using public transportation every day. And they are like, so it's like because you get robbed or something? No, because they here they drive like crazy. And so I just want to be safe.
Really, so, driving. Yeah.
But they are like, so is it a big city? Yeah, it's bigger than my home city, so it's weird for them.
Yeah,
now they get used to it, but
Now they know you've been here almost 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what other misperceptions kind of resonated with you?
For me, I think I relate most well to all of them, but
you're like, because I am a missionary.
Yes. Number four says we understand U.S. culture, so we're from the U.S. That's where we were born, and I think that's interesting that's on there. Like, it would make sense that we understand U.S. culture. But I think, especially with the exponential growth of social media, like, the thing that shocked me most last time we were in the States was that everyone assumed that you had seen what was on social media.
Mm.
I'm not a huge social media person, so I'm not on Facebook or Instagram all the time. And so when you post things, I don't see it right away, if ever.
Right. So,
especially if his wife turns off his notifications.
Right. So, it was just interesting to me that people assumed that I knew what was going on in their life because of what they had posted on Facebook or Instagram. And so people, even like friends, would say, like, would start talking to me as if I had already known what was going on in their life or in the culture in with U.S. politics or whatever, and just started talking about it. I'd be like, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. And they're like, oh, didn't you see my post a couple days ago?
No.
Nope, sorry. That was just very shocking, I guess, to me. That people would just automatically assume that I've kept up to date with what's going on in the U.S. And I have a little bit, but not to the extent that people would in the U.S. I'm also curious to know, like, if Freya, do you get the same response? Maybe not to the U.S. especially, but to, like, Mexico? Do people ask you, like, talk to you in a way that
they assume, I already know,
that you already know what's going on everywhere?
It's weird because a lot of people assumes like I'm disconnected from like from social media or from what is happening in Mexico.
Yeah.
And most of the people get surprised when I talk like I know what is going on, you know, because I try to keep update with not like every day, but I read the news and, you know, I know what is going on. But there are people that think that I'm not connected or they don't text me because they think I'm far away. I'm far away, but you can't.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're unreachable.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that think that way. Yeah. And to me, it's surprising because I'm like, I have a phone. So it's like, and
which
I have
service?
Internet. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So you can call me.
So that's like both two extremes, you know, of misperceptions because we talked first about, you're so remote, so, oh, you probably haven't seen this movie. And it's like, no, the same week that it came out, actually it came out.
It's not on release day.
Yeah.
We saw Star Wars the day before it came out in the States.
That's true.
And we're not sure how that happened.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, don't ask questions. So there's this one perception that's like, you are not connected, and she's so far away that we could never talk with her. And you're like, I would like to have a message every now and then.
I have Facebook.
Yeah.
And now Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for that.
You're Chelsea. So popular.
Thank you, Chelsea.
If you want to follow Freya, she's on Instagram. Yeah. Good luck finding her.
But the other extreme is, oh, you know exactly what's happening, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the world is so small that you know. And it's kind of nice to be disconnected sometimes, mm-hmm. especially for me, regarding politics. Oh, yeah. I don't have to see the political ads. I don't have to hear both sides as much, even though you still hear it down here sometimes. But, yeah, what other misperception? Emily, you haven't chimed in too much.
I think one of the things that is interesting, and I kind of, the conversation I'd like to have with you guys a little bit is if you think this is a global thing or if this is more from, what we would consider developed countries or whatever, but, we took a vow of poverty. And the reason why I think it's an interesting perception is because I really do think it depends what country you come from, of if that is the perception of what missionary life is, because I know that a lot of the countries that are in our region, they don't see missionary life as taking a vow of poverty, where maybe Mexico might see that, or the United States as, oh, you're going to live somewhere that's not near as luxurious as the country you're leaving, you know, is what the mentality is. So that's interesting to me to think that that would be a misperception. I don't think it's a global misperception by any means. But I do think that the missionary life is a call to simplicity, not poverty per se, but simplicity. Like I know that our life as a family, as the Armstrong family, we are structured very differently after 15 years of living on the mission field. And it's come with intentionality of simplicity. Like it's even gotten to the point of if and when we move back to the United States, like we have even talked about, would we even buy a house? Like we might just get an apartment because the property that we own, we want it to always fit into a smaller space. We don't want to outlive, you know, kind of the salaries that we have and stuff like that. So I think sometimes that perception of vow of poverty is not legitimate all around the world, but definitely do you guys feel like you take a vow of simplicity? I think that's more of what the vow is. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, it's not poverty. I would say simplicity. Yeah. No.
I wouldn't say that at all. Poverty, no.
No. I don't even know if I would say... I mean, I guess it's more simple, but it's just a different way of life. Like it's... Mm-hmm. Like it's, you just have to refocus or reorient yourself on how you live life or what you consider to be valuable, I suppose.
Yeah.
When I first got here, my family would ask me all the time, are you eating well?
Yes.
Do you have enough food? Because they have this perception that missionaries, you know, don't have enough to buy food or, you know, to eat well. But I think I'm fine.
I also think it might depend on what organization you go with. I have some friends that did go with a different organization. We work with the Church of the Nazarene, and it's very developed in the way that it cares for its missionaries. Mm-hmm. And we're required at all times to have 6 months of fundraised money in our account, which is great. But some organizations don't require that. And so if a missionary is trying to stretch the dollars, they actually are probably living in poverty, and they probably are gauging their food intake. Like, can we go without this meal? So I think that also plays into it. Our denomination takes really good care of missionaries. And for that reason, I don't think we have to live in poverty.
Yeah.
It's
good.
Freya, what was the misperception that jumped out to you?
Well, there are two, and I'm going to read them. The number six, it says, our life is just a longer, short-term mission trip.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And I wanted to, for me, it goes together with, we are all living in a revival. What I was thinking is that a lot of people think that we have, all of our days are exciting days. You know, we have these big moments with people, you know, with people getting to know Jesus or something like that. But the truth is, we have normal days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to get to those days, because we have big moments. We have times where people is saying yes to God, but not all of our days are like that. And so it feels sometimes like a short-term mission trip, but it's not. And we're not living a revival all the time. We have normal days. We have days when we have to do the finances. We have to do, like, boring stuff.
Laundry.
Yeah,
laundry.
That too. That cooking. <Yeah. laughs> I mean, for me. And so, yeah, so people, we're people too. And so we're normal and we don't have, all of our days are not like exciting.
Yeah. I don't know about you all, but one of the most asked questions seems to be, what is your average day like?
Yeah,
right? What is your average day like? So I hear that a lot. And I mean, there are times I want to relate this kind of, this is on me because I want to feed into the, we're all living in a revival time, you know? So I kind of answer that question and emphasize, well, I travel a lot, which I do. And so that can sometimes be preaching at a youth camp, and it can be training future missionaries, and it can be, and that's, that is all true. But like, what I don't want to answer them is, I'm at my computer a lot answering emails,
yeah,
you know, right. And my wife has to turn in the receipts after I'm done. I have to turn in the receipts, but she helps to turn in all the finances after these trips. And it's like, that's not our favorite part of being missionaries. But there's some days that people may come and be like, well, this doesn't look so amazing, you know?
And well, we've talked about that in the way of one of the episodes. I remember when we were talking about discipleship of like the Bible doesn't give us what a common day looked like. Like you see these snapshots of amazing days with Jesus, right? Like you see all these amazing days and you see very little of the common living days. And I think as missionaries, like we're constantly walking that balance of when you are sharing the story with someone, you want them to want to engage with it and to be a part of it. And that if God calls them to it, that that's going to be something that they're going to be a part of as well. But to be able to find this balance of most likely the disciples had more days with Jesus that they were sitting and listening and learning and just talking with him than like the moment when he, you know, is in the crowd and the lady touches the hem of his robe and she's all, you know, she's healed. And then the little girl is risen from the dead. And, you know, I think it's a big piece of missionary living. And I too think about that. We're living in a revival. Like, how do we hold that balance? Because we are responsible for telling the story. Like, that is a piece of missionary living. And so what I find myself saying a lot is when people actually do say, okay, well, I'm going to spend 3 months there or 6 months there. And like, I'm really going to figure this out. I hear myself saying a lot, like, the romantic side of missions, like, is completely gone once you decide to engage in it. And you start to expect the revival, but you know that it takes a lot of like tilling the field and like planting the seed. And so when we tell the story, it's like, look at this huge harvest. But man, most of our days are spent just doing the hard work of getting ready for harvest. And and that's not a like fun story to tell. You know, when you only have 20 minutes to engage somebody, you know, from a pulpit or something, it's not like, hey, here's how much time I spend just working in the field. I think it's an interesting balance. So that people don't have a misconception, and how do you maybe like paint the real perception of what it is? And I think it's more of just spending time with missionaries instead of just getting the 20-minute snapshot, you know, something you might hear from a sermon. It's good to spend time with real missionaries and ask, you know, can I come for 7 days or 10 days and see what you do? And I think even if we as missionaries need to not alter our schedules so much when somebody is there to observe, you know, like every day I'm going and doing, because that's not really what we do.
One missionary in the article said, on a short-term mission trip, you basically do ministry from sun up to sundown. You don't negotiate with a landlord, struggle with buying groceries and cooking food, homeschool your kids, or stand in long lines to pay a $2 bill, right?
Scott
hates that one. Living overseas requires a lot of effort just to live. Now, I mean, not each one of those we haven't had to do, or like, we're not struggling now to buy groceries. But I think the point is made pretty well that, you know, there's just a lot of, I like what you said, tilling the soil, you know, just hard work, and you don't always see the results. And there are moments you do, and you love those days. And we've even been taught on home assignment, You know, don't, you need to share about those days because you need to inspire in missions. And I actually agree with that. Like, I don't want a missionary in the one moment I have, maybe the one time they have the entire year to hear about missions. And you're saying, I'm mostly at the computer and, you know, and we're just kind of struggling through life every now and then, you know, doing, it's like, inspire them to right. missions. But that can convey kind of an unreal expectation of who we are and what we do.
Yeah. I, my pushback on that just a little bit is that I like telling them the mundane things because what I see missionaries as is someone that is a Christian who is called to be a Christian in a different culture across the seas, across the border, whatever the case may be. But the same is true of the Christian. Their job is to do basically what I'm doing, just in their own culture. And so if I can help them understand that my day looks a lot like their day, but I'm just being obedient to what God has called me to, it makes me seem more relatable. I've had people say like, oh, like you work in an office Monday through Friday, 9 to 5? Well, I do too. And you find time to do ministry in the midst of that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I like helping them understand that missionaries are just normal people. And mm-hmm. I think that's a big piece of it. And then we talk about this, the big moments of the revival piece and say like, this is possible because we are obedient. Mm. You can see these same results in your community if right. you're obedient.
Right. That's good.
So it kind of goes, the number one misperception on the list is we are saints. And it's not true. We're just normal people called to a different place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good.
But we're doing the normal things. Mm-hmm. So
I'm actually interested in hearing from you, Chelsea and AJ. Your job is to host teams. I mean, that's simplifying it, but essentially to host short-term teams. And so you're constantly in contact with people that think missions is equated with those 10 days. And so that is a misperception that I think resonates even more with you guys than with us. We've all hosted teams. We've all been a part of that. But you've shared one way how you can kind of diminish that or explain to them. But what are some other ways that you see that are helpful to guide people in knowing, you know, this is a piece of it and these are these 10 days, but mission and missions is way different and bigger than this?
I think we've tried really hard to make those 10 days more of a training aspect about what is missions and how do you take this kind of mountaintop high or this what you've experienced from God on these 10 days, how do you take this back home and how do you practice missions, being missional in your own community? I think we've done a really good job, or tried to, of like debriefing that with the teams that come and saying, okay, how can you apply this to your normal everyday life where you live? And I think that helps kind of diffuse this idea that you can only find God or these experiences with God in a foreign country.
Yeah. Or on a mountaintop.
Or on a mountaintop experience, yeah. Hmm. That you can do everyday stuff and, like you said, be obedient and and experience God in that way.
Yeah, we are probably the weirdest hosts for mission teams. We're probably not like any other. Our debrief at night consists of 3 questions, and we ask for group participation. What went well today? What didn't go well today? And how did you see God at work today? And once the team starts answering it and they start processing it, they realize they can ask those questions in their everyday life. And that's really kind of what we're called to do, is to see God at work in the life, in the everyday pieces. And a lot of the time the answer they give is like in a flower, in a rainbow, like something kind of simplistic, but it's genuine. It's really how they saw God that day. Mm-hmm. It's hardly ever through the construction. Sometimes it's through the community event that we've done, but it's interesting to say, okay, so how have you seen God at work in your life over the past year? And that gets really hard. And And so we challenge them. It shouldn't be a hard question. You should be able to answer that. So what are you doing in your life that's not letting you be able to answer that question? Mm. I think that's a really important part of what we do with our teams to help them.
That's really good. That's good. Any other final thoughts as we come to an end here? If not, I mean, we do have 10 more points, Emily.
Oh, good.
Just know that I have to get out of here today. See you guys later. I got to go sweep my hut.
Yes, that's right.
Once every 2 hours because it's a dirt floor.
Sorry, guys. See you later.
Yeah. So before I go feed my monkey as well.
Don't call your kids that.
Oh, no. Well, on that note, there are huts to sweep and monkeys to feed. And we will talk with you next time with 10 more misperceptions about being missionaries. But we are the Worthless Servants, and I'm Scott Armstrong.
I'm AJ Fry.
I'm Emily Armstrong.
I'm Freya Galindo.
And I'm Chelsea Fry.
We'll talk with you next time.
For more information, visit us on Facebook or at mesoamericagenesis.org.